Hi, I'm Carl Azus, and Fridays are awesome. From the deepest depths to the soaring heights, today's show takes us from sea to sky, and of course, we're thankful to have you watching. A new partnership has been announced between Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. It's called AUKUS, a combination of those three countries' names, and it mostly involves defense technology. AUKUS will help Australia build nuclear-powered submarines. It'll reportedly deploy U.S. military planes to Australia. It'll help Australia develop military technology concerning artificial intelligence and cyber warfare. U.S. President Joe Biden says the three countries have teamed up because they believe it's important to ensure long-term peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific region. But China has criticized the new partnership. A Chinese spokesman says it undermines peace and stability in the region. That's according to the British Broadcasting Corporation. And another Chinese official told the Reuters news agency that countries should, quote, shake off their Cold War mentality and ideological prejudice. Britain's defense secretary says the partnership is not about sending a message to China. But many analysts say it is, that by increasing their military cooperation, Australia, the UK, and the US are trying to limit China's power. The communist country has been rapidly building up its military in recent years. It's been constructing artificial islands in the South China Sea and claiming the waters surrounding these islands are its own. The US says China has been putting economic pressure on Australia, so the three nations involved in AUKUS are hoping their partnership serves as a deterrent or discouragement to China's growing power. A big part of that, Australia's underwater capabilities in the Indian and Pacific Oceans.
Australia, the United States, and the United Kingdom have long been close allies. What this new trilateral partnership, known as AUKUS, will do is elevate Australia's military to be much closer to the capabilities that the US and the UK has. One very significant way in which that will happen is that the US and the UK will provide Australia with incredibly sensitive and closely guarded information, knowledge of how to build nuclear submarines. Australia is expected to build as many as 8 nuclear submarines now, with the help of the US and the UK becoming only the 7th country in the world to possess such power. Now, those weapons of war have the capacity to change the neighbourhood of the Indo-Pacific region, to change the security question there, because these submarines are able to stay at sea for longer, to dive deeper, to move faster, increase powers to evade detection, and of course they can carry greater weapons payloads. However, President Biden and Prime Ministers Johnson and Morrison were at pains to say that that weapons payload will not include nuclear weapons. Here's what Scott Morrison had to say about that on Thursday.
Stress again, this is about propulsion. This is not about acquiring nuclear weapons. Australia has no interest in that. No plans for it, no policy for it, no contemplation of it. It's not on our agenda.
Now, this is not a short-term arrangement that Australia has entered into with the US and the UK. It will take at least 18 months for technicians from the US and UK to discuss with Australia how to move forward with this nuclear-propelled submarine plan. And it could be until the 2040s that these nuclear submarines join the Australian Navy in service in the Indo-Pacific region, this region which the United States and Australia in particular are saying grows more dangerous by the day as China continues to assert itself. Angus Watson, CNN, Sydney.
10-second trivia. A duck, a rooster, and a sheep made history as the first travelers on what? Is it a subway, space capsule, biplane, or hot air balloon? In 1783, these animals took and survived the first flight in a hot air balloon. Continuing our civilians in space theme from this week, 4 people are currently orbiting the Earth in a SpaceX rocket, and none of them is a professional astronaut. This isn't the first time civilians have gone into orbit. It is the first time they've done that without a seasoned astronaut on board. Does this mean this kind of opportunity will soon be available to you and me? Probably not. One of the travelers, a 38-year-old billionaire, personally paid for this trip, and it likely cost him more than $200 million. Along for the ride are a St. Jude Children's Hospital physician's assistant, an employee of the Lockheed Martin Aerospace Company, and a community college teacher. They blasted off together on Wednesday and were scheduled to come back down to Earth on Saturday, though the weather could affect that. They'll sleep in their launch seats, skip showers, and likely share a very unique bond for years to come. Rachel Crane caught up with the civilian space travelers before their historic flight.
Feel pressure to, you know, make this successful and pave the way for civilian, you know, future civilian astronauts?
I wouldn't say pressure, because pressure would mean like I'm nervous about the outcome here. I think that responsibility is really the word, right? And that this is a big responsibility, and we have to execute really well and get this right so that the door can stay open for all the other missions to follow.
Haley, what did your doctor say to you when you told them that you were going to embark on this journey? Were they like, you're crazy?
Not at all. So I texted my orthopedic surgeon right before my announcement, and I just said I had some really big news to share. And we both work at St. Jude together, and so I went and met up with him, and I said, you know, in a few days you can brag that you put the first artificial joint in space. And he just kept saying how proud he was. He kept hugging me, and he's here to watch the launch tomorrow with his family.
The media has deemed you guys ordinary people doing something extraordinary, but that's why so many people feel connected to this mission. Do you think, though, that that description is accurate?
I kind of feel like it does. I mean, you could have put a group of people together from all over the country, and you would still have a set of unique stories behind each person. So I think when you think of the word ordinary, you're not necessarily thinking of bland, boring people, because everyone has an extraordinary story. We are just a lucky few that have the extraordinary opportunity to be together and to share in this incredible journey.
For me, being the oldest and the most seasoned here, you know, I think it's about not giving up in your dreams, having resilience and grit and determination. And so I know I have a lot of friends and colleagues who are in their 50s and 60s. And, you know, sometimes you feel like the best parts of your life have passed you by. But that's not the case. There's so much life still worth living in your golden ages. And I like to think that this is an example of that.
Among the skyscrapers of New York City, there are many breathtaking views. This one is more three-dimensional. Summit One Vanderbilt is one of the highest observatories in the city. It's got a lot of glass, and it's not just used in the balconies, the outdoor space, the elevators. This building features an art exhibit that has mirrors on the floor, the ceiling, and three sides, and they have so many reflections that people say you can't tell what's real. Others may scrape by simply scraping the sky, but those who Vanderbilt this one gave you the views of a fly with compound eyes that visualize the summit from every angle, the newfangled and dangled metals that bemuse and bespangle. It's a sight for sore eyes, except for light and height fears that reflects view and vantage points using glass smoke and mirrors. Woo! Now that we are through that, we want to give a shout out to North Fayette Valley High School, our viewers watching from West Union, Iowa. My name is Carl Azus. I host CNN. Hope you have a great weekend.